Welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard, a show about tools, tips, and technology surrounding SOLIDWORKS engineering and the web. This is episode 429 for February 10th, 2013. Woodworking with SOLIDWORKS Revisited. Well, hi, and welcome to SOLIDWORKS Heard. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since we've talked because last week I've never done this before, but I actually skipped a show. I put a tweet out on Sunday night just saying I'm exhausted, I can't and don't have the time. But we had actually moved our offices of 11 years across town here. So Digital Dimensions actually relocated to Tempe. And in that long, just getting prepped, getting packed up, doing the move, getting servers and systems back up. It was a lot of late nights and it was a lot of long hours. And frankly, I just ran out of gas. So I apologize that the show wasn't out. Like I said, I've been fairly consistent. I don't think I've really ever missed. I think I've had two Sundays where I've put a show out on Monday. But this past Sunday, I couldn't do it. And so I started kind of looking to the next week and I said, all right, well, I'm going to regroup, get some rest, and I'm gonna cover another topic that I wanted to go over. And a couple of weeks ago, I think actually last week, and again, it gets kind of lost in the move, is SOLIDWORKS launched an update to their iOS eDrawings, so eDrawings Pro for iPad and iPhone, that had a new feature that was actually debuted on the SOLIDWORKS World stage a couple of weeks ago. And this was the new augmented reality. Now, very similar to eDrawings itself, which was, kind of the child of Rick Chin's mind, Rick also had this vision of bringing some augmented reality. And they showed that on the main stage. And, we were all kind of wondering when it was going to come out. And what was interesting was that they pushed that functionality into the active release of eDrawings for iPad and iPhone. So I was kind of interested in seeing how this will work. Augmented reality is a little bit more of a fun thing. I always think of it more of a gaming thing or, that you'll have a one-time use case and probably won't use it again. But I really wanted to try and see what and how this worked within eDrawings, which is a long-time tool we've all been pretty familiar with. Well, long story short, as I started to dig in, there was an obvious issue with the version with augmented reality. A lot of the screens would work, but all of a sudden the camera wouldn't initiate to allow you to take the picture, that kind of places it in the environment. And a couple of people had pushed out some tweets saying, hey, what's going on with this thing? And Rick actually had responded saying, we caught an issue after we submitted. We know what the problem is. It's been fixed. It's been resubmitted. And it should be out on Friday. And so I had a little dialogue with him, and he asked me kindly if I would hold off on covering it, because I did mention I was prepping a show for this weekend. And I obliged. I want to give it its fair share, and obviously Rick is fairly excited about this new feature. So I want to really experience and not just take the word of the video and some of the feedback of how it's supposed to work. I'd actually like to try it out for myself. And so I decided to postpone the show. So I found myself in another pickle. I had a show prepped and I was ready to kind of go forward and just kind of discuss the issue, but kind of talk about the premise a little more. And Rick convinced me fairly easily that I should probably postpone and wait till it was working. So since I haven't been, I didn't have another show to basically pull together in the time I have, I decided to look back through. And again, I have this luxury because I have so many shows that we've done, is look back through the episodes and think about some that not only haven't been covered in a while, but ones that were pretty hot topics. And one of them was woodworking. Now, as I mentioned in the show, and I'll actually just replay it so you can actually hear it, but this debuted on March, I think, 10th or so of 2010. And it's been about 3 years since I covered it. And at the time, I was actually doing a woodworking seminar at a place, showing them how to utilize SOLIDWORKS for this and using different things like weldments and different library features and functions to really make woodworking pretty awesome in SOLIDWORKS. And so I wanted to replay that because I think it's actually an interesting way of utilizing something that we all kind of visualize as a very mechanical, software and use it for something that has for a long time been more dominated by the creative mind than a computer. So I'm going to replay episode 266 from back in March of 2010. So hopefully you enjoy it. And next week we will dive into the new augmented reality of eDrawings. Well, welcome to SolidWorks Heard. I'm Lou Gallo. Well, today we're going to talk about a topic that is one of those things that I think at first glance a lot of people don't think that SolidWorks would be something that you would use as a thing to design, you know, any type of woodworking product, furniture, cabinetry, things like that. Now, you know, I've talked to a lot of engineers and people that have used it, you know, even out of their own home. You know, maybe they work for an aerospace company, but, you know, they'll dabble with SolidWorks to do weekend projects and things like that. And, you know, over the years of going in and talking to a lot of furniture manufacturers, it's kind of funny how this space is really kind of defined by a lot of common lines of products. And there's you know, software out there that really allow people to, you know, come up with designs or variations of existing things in the market. And so if you've ever been into a, you know, your typical hardware store like a Home Depot or a Lowe's or something like that, and that's here in the States, you know, you can walk in and you can look at a lot of the millwork and a lot of the cabinetry places, and, you know, they'll sit you down at a desk and they'll lay out your kitchen and show you exactly what it would look like. And they can essentially hit a button and they got pricing and everything. And a lot of this stuff is kind of standard product lines. And a lot of these software pretty much lend themselves very well to that because they have kind of these stock libraries, you know, that'll calculate lineal feet of materials and board feet of material. And it's, you know, they're really specific to those industries. But what we're kind of running across probably over the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 years now, a lot of places that I talk to, they're trying to differentiate themselves. They may have standard product lines, but they also want to get out and do stuff that's a little bit more, you know, a little bit more unique. And a lot of times these, you know, these kind of library-driven software don't really lend themselves to the onesie-twosie or custom type of you know, design. And so SolidWorks, obviously, you know, any of you that use SolidWorks, you know, you can look at a cabinet and say, I can totally model that. And that's really, you know, one of the powers in SolidWorks is not just the fact that you can, you know, model all the boards and put them together or, you know, maybe make it a little bit more intelligent so, you know, you can make changes to maybe the footprint of a cabinet and based on the height, it adds shelves and things like that. But there's a lot of things that you can do to really be able to utilize some of the tools within SolidWorks, some of the core functions that kind of lend itself to woodworking pretty well. So today we're going to talk a little bit about some of the functions that are inside of SolidWorks to really allow you to build some of these libraries and things that you may use a lot. I mean, we're talking about woodworking, we're talking about frames, we're talking about finish, we're talking about joints, we're talking about trim. There's a whole bunch of things that you can really get pretty creative with. It really comes down to the key of libraries, and a lot of these little details that we talk about in woodworking can be pretty time-consuming if you were having to do them kind of by hand or manually every single time you come across it. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of these tools within SolidWorks. Now, for me, one of the things that really kind of screamed out woodworking was when SolidWorks introduced weldments. And weldments is really kind of the key to a lot of things that we do in woodworking. You know, when you think about weldments, I mean, obviously, if you look at like the default installation of SolidWorks, you know, you're talking about, you know, rectangular and square tubing, angle iron, stuff like that. You know, it's all focused on making welded structures. And obviously, that's what it's really strong at. But if you think about, you know, kind of break it down to what is it exactly doing, it's taking a profile and it's sweeping it along a path. It's not much more difficult than that. And so if you think about it from that standpoint, you can say, well, you know, a lot of cabinets will have frames. You know, there'll be wooden frames. You know, you may have instances where you want to add trim to something. You know, like let's say you're putting crown molding in a room. You know, that upper corner, you know, even if you were to, you know, build the room in SolidWorks, you could just select the ceiling, open a sketch, convert entities, right? So you get the outer sketch there, and then just go ahead and drop in your trim, and it trims it up and, you know, cuts it to length and gives you a miter and gives you all the information. You know, so that's really where a lot of people are after, especially in the woodworking industry. They're after cut lists. They want this information automatically. And so what's really nice about weldments is obviously it does a lot of this for you. The other beauty about it is that you can really take the time and build these libraries, you know, have these libraries build off, you know, the different details that you want. So you may have all kinds of different information: cove, base, shoe, crown molding, casing, you know, all those things. You could take those profiles, sketch them up as a sketch, save them as a library feature part, and the name of the file that you save, you know, give it something that makes sense. So if it's a, you know, a 5-inch crown mold, then call it 5-inch crown mold. And that information is going to show up in the size information within the feature manager. So if you've ever done weldments, obviously you have basically three areas when you pick your weldment. You pick your standard, you pick your type, and then you pick your size. And the way that this works is that when you actually build this, it's a folder structure. You know, if you go under the weldment profiles folder, you know, you can basically go in there and start creating a folder. So right now, if you look in yours, you probably see ANSI and inch and ISO. You know, make one called, you know, trim or casing or whatever you want to call it. And then inside of that, the subfolder shows up as type. So you have standard, type, and size. Standard is going to be the top level folder. Type is going to be the second folder underneath that. And then the size is going to be the name of the file or the library feature part. And so you can build this really nice structure to where your weldments essentially turn into kind of your stock material and trim tool. And, you know, you're able to select these right in the list. So that's really a nice feature of being able to go in and customize that. Now, you can have multiple locations for this. You know, you can obviously go into your tools options under system options and file locations and select weldment profiles. And you can go ahead and, you know, create other, you know, other directories that you want. And that's really what's powerful about this, is that you can really customize this for the woodworking industry. You know, I think that's probably the biggest piece to kind of lending itself to creating these libraries. Now, speaking of libraries, the other feature that we want to kind of talk about is the old school library features. And that's going to be able to do a lot of these joints and things that we want to be able to facilitate. So let's take a look at library features. Now, library features are much older than weldments. For those of you that have been using SOLIDWORKS a long time, you know, many of you probably remember the feature palette. What an ugly implementation. But, you know, that was kind of a separate window for many of us that have used it a long time. It was something that kind of popped over our work. But for the most part, library features was always this ability to be able to save features. And that's why they called it the feature palette, because that's all it did. Nowadays, you can have parts and assemblies and all kinds of different stuff, annotations. There's all kinds of stuff within our library now. But for the most part, what's nice about libraries, for I would say a majority of the woodworking industry, is really these complex cuts. Now, if you think about it, when you're talking about joining wood together, you know, everyone's done the common butt joint. Now, what's nice about weldments within parts, and obviously weldments is a parts-only kind of feature, library features used to be pretty much all parts, but when you're talking about being able to have parts and assemblies and things like that, those are much more, you know, obviously assembly-based. But for the most part, when we're you know, utilizing multiple bodies, maybe you want to be able to drop in a more complex cut or something like, let's say, you know, something a little bit more than just your basic joint. Your butt and miter joints are pretty common. They're pretty easy to do. But think about something like lap joints or tongue and groove or mortise and tenon or pocket joints. Or maybe you want to add something like a dado or a rabbet. All of those type of joints, they typically require, you know, some other complex cuts. You know, if you're talking about something like tongue and groove, you know, you're essentially, you know, riding a dado or a little pocket all the way down the length of the board. And then on your opposing board that's going to mate to it, you know, you're removing, you know, the upper and lower sides of that. So you actually create a tongue and groove type of interface. That's a lot of work. And if you have a lot of different joints within a part that you're creating, or maybe you're making a drawer or something like that, you don't want to have to do that all manually. And the other part about it is, obviously, these are typically fairly standard sizes, so you can really, they kind of lend themselves, again, to library features very well. So you can create a lot of these things, put the boards together, drop in the library, and then you get a lot of these nice little prompts. So for those of you that are using library features, you know, you get the little window that tells you where to select, and you can create those, you know, pretty simply. Even to get to something a little bit more complicated where, you know, these are more joint-based type of functions. But what about other things, you know, beyond just library features, which are, you know, essentially cuts and things like that that we may be adding? You know, like on a mortise and tenon, you know, it's going to basically cut the mortise and then create the tenon to match. Those type of features, again, huge time saver. If you can take the time to build that, it's going to automatically do those modifications for you. Now, I think the other part of this is a feature that was introduced a few years back, and that's called Smart Components. Now, Smart Components has been it's been in the tool for a while now, about 4 or 5 years. And Smart Components, I think, comes off to a lot of users as demo magic. It's very similar to some of the power that we'll see in things like mate references, where you drag something in and it snaps into place. The thing that's nice about Smart Components, though, is that you can have kind of a whole series of things happen upon a drop of a part. So you drop a component in, and then other things automatically happen. So for example, with woodworking, you know, you have always things that you're going to insert to, you know, basically make the thing look like it's just holding together. The trick of this is most furniture has to be very sturdy, has to be very strong. So there is a whole bunch of things upon, you know, the more complex joints of how you join material. A lot of times things have to be taken apart. And so, you know, being able to add things like inserts and hinges and hardware and all these different things that, you know, you may need, you know, more complicated joints that, you know, require you to insert something like a biscuit or a domino or something like that, where you're actually having to cut into the material, glue in a piece, pull the pieces together, and those are the type of joints that, you know, again, kind of lend itself very well to smart fasteners, because you're inserting a part, essentially, that biscuit, and then you want these other pieces that are affected by it to also be cut out to accommodate this biscuit. And so, again, if you were having to do that manually every single time, it would be kind of a pain. But, you know, Smart Components can really allow you to do that. Now, for those of you that have never done a Smart Component, it's actually a pretty easy procedure. You essentially have an assembly that would have the, let's just continue on with the biscuit example. You'd have the biscuit placed in the assembly. Let's say you just have two boards and the biscuit. And you would essentially select the component that you want to make smart, and then, you know, go through and pick the features and other things that you want to associate. So whatever mates and whatever feature cuts and whatever things that have to happen in order to accommodate that smart part. And then in the assembly toolbar, you'll have a button that says Make Smart Component, or you can go to the Tools pull down. And within there, you know, you can go through and define all the information about the smart component, you know, what's actually stored. And what's nice about it is it's kind of its own piece when you're done with it. So when you drag it in, you'll place it, you'll get it into place, and then you'll click a little icon on the actual part, and it'll perform all the information and operations that are required as part of that smart component. So if you think about some things that this could be really useful for, you know, if you think about something like I said, like inserts, you know, where you're going to drop that in and have it cut out a hole for the threaded insert to fit into, or maybe they're more of kind of the pound in type where they, you know, they usually have little barbs on the side. You know, those type of inserts, again, same thing. You can drop them in and have them cut the necessity T-nuts and stuff like that. Again, all these things can be done. A better example of it too is hardware. I mean, almost every single piece of furniture is going to have some type of hardware on it, whether it be a handle or a door pull. It could be really anything. And again, you know, with a hinge, you know, you're going to have screws that go on the hinge. You know, some of the more fancy hinges where the screw holes are hidden, they'll actually be on the inside edge. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen. Pre-drilled holes, locations of those, you know, where the hinge actually has to sit on both the you know, the stationary part of the cabinet as well as the cabinet door. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening there. But again, if you could just drag in the hinge and place it, put it in where you want it, and then you hit the smart part and it automatically cuts the holes and inserts the fasteners and basically does all the work for you. That prep time on that one hinge might be a huge time saver down the road. So again, some of this stuff is really about kind of setting the stage and adding some of this automation, but these are tools that are built within SolidWorks. Anything that you can think of where you have to insert some type of piece that has to have certain prep operations to be done, you know, Smart Components is going to be a good fit for that. And this is really one of the things I think for the most part, a lot of people that maybe do woodworking in general, is they look at SolidWorks as a very powerful tool, but it doesn't have all these one button click functions. So a lot of times I'll hear, what about all these profiles? Is all the profiles for, common different millwork in there? Well, no, you have to make those. How can I get the biscuit button? These are the kind of things that do take some setup. And I think that's really anytime you go into this kind of vertical market where it's very specific to a certain industry, it will require some library building to do it. However, I think a lot of this stuff, once you get it in place, it's tremendously fast, and it does give the flexibility for these companies to do some of the onesie-twosie type of approaches. So what about limitations? I mean, obviously there are some things that I see a lot whenever any customers of ours actually call in about issues. I see a lot of top-down modeling, which is fine, but the in-context references tend to be a big issue. For example, a lot of places will do a type of footprint-driven piece of furniture. So they want to basically build the piece of furniture and then change the footprint of it. So they want to make it deeper or they want to make it wider. And, they want to make these changes, very simply and have all their drawers and everything else update and configure automatically. And a lot of times this is an issue because they may have parts that are built off of parts. So let's say they draw a layout sketch in their assembly that's the footprint, and then they build a baseboard, and then they start building the sides off of that, and then they build other sides off of the other sides. And pretty soon you have, this buried tree of in-context references, and it takes either multiple rebuilds to get a change to propagate, or it lights up the feature tree like a Christmas tree, and all of a sudden it's a troubleshooting nightmare. So that tends to be, one of the biggest pitfalls that happens. And another one I've run across is when people are using equations and they're referencing other parts within the same assembly. Sometimes if you start to get crazy with suppression states of different parts and you start suppressing parts that equations are referencing, that can get kind of messy. And really, when you start to make some of these changes or you have instances where you want a lot of things to update, and really the only kind of straightforward approach is to do a top-down model, a lot of times I usually recommend to people that, maybe that's something that kind of relies itself more on something like a design automation tool like DriveWorks. Mainly because there's so many different variables that need to be changed, and if you're relying on the software reading other references within itself, again, multiple rebuilds, sometimes errors in getting stuff to propagate change. So a lot of these tools that we talked about earlier in the show is, getting those libraries set and making a lot of these onesie-twosie type of products. But once you start to make a lot of variation, so you want to make, a cabinet and you have all these different features to it, and then you want to start to make changes and adjust them. That's when I usually tell people it's probably the best thing to start going to something like a design automation tool. With DriveWorks Express being inside of SolidWorks, you can capture all those things. You can write rules to how things actually change, and you avoid a lot of those issues. I've had a lot of instances where it's just been easier to capture all the things I want to change and write relationships in one spot at the high level of how everything changes, rather than having something change one dimension at maybe the assembly level that needs to propagate to 100 other parts. So, that's really one of the things that a lot of these tools can get you to, is they get you those libraries to make the one-off, and then use design automation to make multiple variations upon that. Well, I hope you enjoy the replay. You know, I really, when I was looking back, this was one of my favorite shows that I had done. I got a lot of feedback from people, you know, not just on the blog, but also from email. I got, you know, emails from customers, people who use SolidWorks for a living. I also got a lot of emails from people on the reseller channel just asking me for libraries and, you know, good ways of application. But, you know, for me, it was a personal kind of background. I've used it a lot in my personal life for projects, whether it was building decks or building my kid's swing set or, you know, any type. In fact, I did crown molding in my house when I first moved into my house about 9 years ago. And, you know, as someone who'd done finish work, you know, coming up and calculating compound angles, you know, it was just easier for me to take the profile and, you know, put it into a corner and do a subtract so I'd have the pieces together and then just do a measure. You know, those kind of things kind of spawn from us because it's the tool we use to design, and we try and figure out ways to apply it to our own personal needs. So I thought it was an interesting show, and I'm glad to replay it. And like I said, next week we will be diving into all that is eDrawing's augmented reality. So stay tuned. Thanks again for the patience from last week, and I'll talk to you guys next week. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can hit up the comments section or email me at lou@solidworksherd.com. Don't forget to visit the Herd at herd.solidworksherd.com and register for an account. You can follow me there or on Google+, Twitter, or Facebook by searching for SolidWorks Herd. This episode of SolidWorks Herd was sponsored by Digital Dimensions, Forward Engineering Solutions, online at www.dicad.com. Music was provided by 21 Against by means of Music Alley at musicalley.com.